been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide. You still with us? How's it going, everybody?
I think everybody's starting to abandon ship like they did Sunday.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast.
Overcast.
Joining me, as always, Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, Brandon, man. Hey, I got a joke for you.
All right, what's that?
Hey, I know you want crabs for Christmas, right?
Uh-huh.
As you always do?
Always.
Well, apparently now we have a big mallet.
That's very true.
Got a mallet for your crabs, man.
I like it. Yeah, we got a new quarterback sign, Brian Renner, the internet darling, the Daniel Bryan of the Ravens. Brian Renner released. I guess they don't really have a lot of faith in him of even being a backup quarterback right now.
No, not at all. And we signed Ryan Mallett, if no one got my joke there. Ryan Mallett, former of the Houston Texans, and it's just getting bad, man. I mean, I can't count the days for the next year to begin and Joe Flacco to come back. This is getting bad.
According to John Harbaugh, the 2016 season is starting this Sunday. That's what he said, that he's going to have a lot of young guys that are kind of fighting for spots, playing, trying to prove themselves this season to prove that they can go next season in 2016 to get the strong team for next year. But this past game and for the next 3 weeks, it's going to be like playing which Raven is that anyway, because really we don't know any of these guys. It's all a bunch of new names that we haven't seen before, and it's kind of like whose line is it anyway. It's where, you know, the refs are always angry and the points don't matter. That's what it's going to be like for the next 3 weeks.
I think so, man, and you bring up a great point how Harbaugh is going to have that design, because it's almost like three preseason games right here. You're going to have no-name guys auditioning. You got Jeremy Butler, Kamar Aiken doing work. They could be formidable for us next year. I mean, you got backups in case Flacco's not 100%. So they're bringing guys to try to say who can back up Flacco for an insurance policy.
Yeah,
here.
Obviously Joe Flacco's our number one guy. Obviously he ain't going anywhere. Hopefully,
well, according to a caller this week, he's not.
He's not our number one guy.
I know I shared this with you, but for all of our callers out there, this is how stupid and insane fans get when, number one, we're not used to losing, and two, when uneducated fans don't even know what they're talking about. Okay, you ready?
Let's hear it.
You've heard it already, but for the fans out there, I sometimes turn into sports talk radio after a loss just to hear, you know, fans' overreaction and their A-plus expertise on what should happen in the NFL, let alone the Ravens. Well, this one, as soon as I turned on radio, top the cake, I could not – I literally was crying. I was laughing so hard. So the caller calls in. He asked the host how you doing. It was co-host like me and Brandon, two guys. So, and the caller's like, yeah, I want to talk about this coaching staff. Fire Harbaugh, bring in some new coaches that can coach these guys up in practice. And he said, build around Jimmy Clausen. And Luli was like 5 seconds of silence. And I guess they didn't know what to say. And the caller's like, yep, build around Clausen. And the co-host or the host, whoever it was, he said, that wasn't a real call. And they just let it loose. So apparently, you're right. Flacco's an afterthought. We should bring in guys to build around a new team. And Flacco who, apparently, because this guy is a genius, right?
Oh, of course. Ridiculous. One of the great Baltimore.
Build around Clausen and fire Harbaugh. Okay. For the love of me, I don't know where we dig these guys up.
That's Baltimore for you. Really not knowing a lot to do when bad situations like this happen. But right now, the next couple of weeks, though, like you said, this is an audition for who is going to back up Joe Flacco. Joe's going to be our number one guy no matter what. Matt Schaub, I don't know if he's going to go past this year, given the fact that he did play a game and a half, got concussed, hurt himself. So we don't know if he's going to be back in the league or what he's going to do next year. So you do have guys like Jimmy Clausen and we were potentially saying Brian Renner. Now we have Mallett coming in. So a lot of these guys are going to, this is your audition time to be like, hey, if you can be the backup, you know, the job is open, I guess. You know, it is in the classifieds. It is on Craigslist right now. If you want to be the backup quarterback next year, show us what you got.
Like you said, it's whose line is it anyway? It's like whose position is it anyway? And what I like to see is, you're right, these are auditioning, but it's going to be interesting to see who we cut, who we let go, because it's been floating around on how we're going to handle the salary cap. Because let's say if we let Webb go, they're already saying it's a $2 million cap hit, but you save cap space. So it depends on how it gets structured and who stays, who goes. I was talking this week. I think what might happen is these players are going to audition. You're going to see some of these players retain, some of them not even on the team, let alone the NFL next year. But I'll be interested to see how the secondary looks, because I think other than Smith and Will Hill, everybody's gone this next coming season, man.
Well, yeah, the two guys that we got, one of the dudes from the Patriots, one of the dudes from the Texans this past year, neither of them showed up this year. They have been terrible.
And I thought those guys were going to be legit, man.
Yeah, absolutely, me too. I was like, man, all right, so we addressed the problem with the secondary, and we fixed it all up. This is going to be great. These guys are going to come in, rule the roost. Nope, they did not do that at all. Just terrible. Just terrible coverage there on defense, but not a lot to talk about in this past game, because this past game was a rather embarrassing game to watch as a Ravens fan. Kind of sucked. So, Josh, I'm going to ask you the most important thing that I saw this past game. Let me know your opinion here. The Independence Day 2 trailer. What'd you think of it?
The trailer overall is a movie. I loved it. I just don't for life of me understand why they have every other character back except Will Smith. I just don't get it.
Well, on the behind the scenes stuff, the reason that is money, because I can't afford Will Smith. That's why. But I don't know if you knew this or not. There is a viral fake / real whatever. It's by the Warner Brothers or whatever. But I think it's called The War of 1996.com. And it's where they talk about what they did after the aliens invaded in 96. And there's a news article clipping that says in one of the test runs for the technology they got from the aliens to make these new airplanes for the military to use, one of them blew up and it had Will Smith's character in the plane. So they already are saying he's dead. He's gone.
I didn't even know that, man. Yeah, thanks for sharing some insight. Everybody's talking about that at work today. It's cool how you bring that up, because even my coworkers are like, what'd you think? We were talking like, I don't understand. And then my coworker's trying to spin some theory like, oh, Will Smith doesn't do sequels. Well, apparently he's doing Bad Boys number 3, so you can dispel that right now. And he already did a Men in Black this past couple years. So
yeah, I think there's a fourth one coming out.
I dispel those rumors because he does sequels.
Yeah. After his debacle with After Earth, that movie with his kid in it, and he came out like number 3 or whatever. I think he got knocked down a couple pegs. I'm most excited to see him in Suicide Kings. I think that movie looks awesome.
Suicide Squad
not Suicide Kings.
Well, no. It's quite okay. Yeah, he's going to be. I think he's definitely going to be a major role in that. But speaking of it, he's actually coming out with a movie on Christmas Day, which is with the NFL, and what's going on this day and age is concussion.
That's right.
So, and he's already nominated for an award there, so I really can't wait to check out that. I'll definitely be watching that movie. But another big one that comes out this week is, everybody knows, Star Wars, man.
That's right. Are you going to see it
this week?
No?
I'm not seeing it this week. Now, only because, number one, it's going to be a madhouse, and I'm not even going there. And two, I promise, and of course, my brother comes home from Christmas break next Monday, so we're probably going to go the Saturday after Christmas next weekend. I'm going to definitely read everybody's reviews, but I would love to see it opening weekend, but I'm not going there.
Yeah, I'm not going with the crazies. I might go to the movies this weekend and see Krampus, but
I've already heard it was horrible.
All right, I'll let you know next week.
A couple of my friends said they wish they can have their $10 back, so you can make your own assessment. But I can show you the post. It didn't look pretty.
Oh, yeah. So I have my tickets for Star Wars. I'm going on the 30th, and I'm going to D.C., and I'm seeing it at the Smithsonian in the true IMAX, because I don't know if you know this, but a lot of the Cinemark and the AMCs and everything, they have IMAXs, but they are the bare minimum, like, smallest IMAX screens in the country. the museums are the only ones with the real IMAXs. So I'm going to go see it at the Smithsonian on December 30th down in D.C. So
you were the ones that one of the ticket prices that had $100 million in pre-sales.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's insane. I think it might break records. I can't wait to see it.
It's gonna break so many records. Like, they're gonna have to come up with a new term for how much money this is gonna make. Like, it's gonna have to be like literally Star Wars money is gonna have to be like one of the titles for how many gajillion dollars it's gonna make.
Of course, I think it's gonna be an epic movie. I mean, I keep watching the trailers leading up to it, but again, I told my brother we're gonna have to see it, but with my schedule, it's just, and you know how it is, it's kind of tough to, and I'm not seeing it late at night. I'd rather go during the day on a Saturday, so we're definitely be eyeing that up for his last day at home, and definitely wrapping up the C-Star. I can't wait, man. It's gonna be a great week, and it's kind of like, you know, the holidays are here, and like you said, it's like you said, beginning of the show, are you still with us? It's really tough because it's good to talk about holidays, the movies, because there's a lot of negativity going on around this team. And it's not only like the team, but the fan base, because everybody's like, oh, I don't want to go to games. They're giving away free tickets. And everybody's like, I'm not going to see them. But it's like, and it was just embarrassing to see. And I really, I mean this with, when I say I can't wait to see, it's not like I'm looking forward to this because it's going to suck big time. But in 2 weeks, the Seahawks fans invaded the stadium. I don't know where they came from. And even people were in town on Saturday in downtown, like Inner Harbor, and they said they were everywhere. So I don't know if they're just homegrown or they came. I don't know where they came from. But I'm very interested to see in 2 weeks when the Steelers come here how many Steeler fans and how many stupid yellow towels there are, because it's going to be embarrassing, dude.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be really bad.
It's going to be bad.
I didn't even think about all those Pittsburgh fans coming down and
invading. Oh, they're
going to
buy them because the Pittsburgh will be alive for the AFC North, because, as we all know, the AFC North and the AFC playoffs just took shape because Andy Dalton broke his thumb. He's out for the year.
Is he out for the whole year?
They said he's out for the rest of the year. I mean, dude, there's three games left. If a broken thumb on your throwing hand, you ain't coming back. It's a broken thumb.
Yeah.
Broken. Like, let me just snap your thumb and see if you can come back in 3 weeks. He ain't coming back, dude.
I mean, if he was a hockey player, he might be back next game.
If it was Ben Roethlisberger, he'd be playing next week, no problem. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
But it's Andy Dalton. He breaks like a little plastic G.I. Joe.
Yeah, so the Ravens, we know, they're officially have been taken out of playoff contention. Like, math is done. This is it. And that's why Harbaugh said
you calculated it. It's done.
It is official. The Ravens know it.
But in the NFC East, we be alive still, man.
That's
the
scary.
The Cowboys are 4-9 and still have a chance.
That's scary to think about, but
I don't even want to. No, let's just not entertain that. I'm glad we don't have a team in the NFC East and we have to break down this horrible division.
Yeah,
imagine that. We'd be 3-4 or 4-9 right there, tied with the Cowboys, and we'd be, oh, but we're two games out. If we win two out of the last three and take care of business, we can win. No. It's done. We're in the AFC North, which is the black and blue division. We beat each other down, and Steelers might take the crown this year, and the Patriots already won. Broncos lost, so that puts the Patriots in the top seed right now. So it's all crazy right now.
Yeah, and
but the Ravens are eliminated. It was bad. People were laughing because I took a chance. I bought in with the DraftKings does the advertisements. They do like the big $1 million prizes.
Right.
I entered mine in this week, and I thought I was very good because I started Russell Wilson, who we know had 5 touchdowns against us, and I had one of the receivers, which was Lockett, who broke away with 2, balling with 3. They were balling. And I thought I was winning, but every time, like – and it was crazy because I want to break this down. You remember how we thought we had life when – by the way the Seahawks went right through our defense, it was like effortlessly. Like, first down after first down, they were moving in chains. I'm like, this is going to be a blowout. My stupid prediction in the morning is not even going to hold up. I mean, I thought it was. When we had it within 8, it was good, and it's just the wheels off. But here's the thing. Remember when – I think it was like first down and 10 or first and goal, and Wilson play action and threw it to a wide open tight end. He dropped it, and then the next play we forced a fumble. Remember that play?
Right, yeah.
Well, I slammed the seat next to me, and somebody behind me goes, must have been on his fantasy team. I'm like, actually, yeah. I was like, if we're going to lose, at least make me money and the other team get me points and win. And with every like good play and touchdown, I was like inside. I'm like, okay, sucks for us, but we ain't going anywhere. We ain't playoffs, so good for me. And then when Lockett caught the first touchdown, I knew it was my guy. I'm like, yes. I stood up, and I'm like, wait a second. They just scored. And I'm like, okay, well, I got 2 touchdowns, so I'm good. it was crazy because then, and then I started to get excited because I knew, like, okay, the Ravens forced a fumble. Let's go down and do it. And it just didn't work out. And on TV, I want to ask your opinion because up until maybe the second half, I thought in the first half, Clawson was throwing the ball crisply to the receivers. Didn't you think that, or did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, for being like a guy who was brought in 2 weeks ago, doesn't know the system very well, whatever. Dude still has an arm, and he was connecting very well with the receivers. I was, for the most part, not knowing anything about this guy. I was like, I was kind of pleasantly surprised that he actually could play a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he did well up until the throw to Sherman and just the pocket awareness and like and couldn't get it done. But the story tells itself. He scored two field goals, 6 points, and lose 35-6. And I have to say this for a fact. I don't know who writes for ESPN for the NFL and covers the Ravens. I know Jamison Ensley does, but I don't think he wrote this article. But I have to. I don't know who it was. There was no name on it, and I still can't find it. But who? Remember how we were flexed out of the Sunday night matchup,
Yeah.
and it was the Houston Texans and New England Patriots instead. Well, they were breaking out our matchup and saying, like, rightfully so, that they were flexed out because the game was a snooze or like 35-6. But if I recall, the Patriots score was a lot similar to that. So I don't know what their point is because the Patriots did the same thing. I guess because the world likes to see Tom Brady in all his glory. Who knows? But that's what happens when you lose. But speaking of that, because the Giants won last night, the Ravens are flexed out of the Sunday night against Pittsburgh, so we have 1 o'clock games here on out.
Which, I mean, I understand when you do have a losing record and you're not in contention, they do want those primetime games to mean a little bit more so people watch them and everything. I think Ravens Steelers is its own kind of primetime matchup. That's why they love the Ravens Steelers because everybody enjoys watching that game. But this is not a Ravens team that a lot of people around the country want to see. There's no leadership. There's no guys that anybody knows. They're all a bunch of no-name guys. So as much as it sucks to get bumped and get up, moved up to 1 o'clock, I understand the NFL for doing it. They want a more competitive game that has more implications to the postseason right now.
Of course, man. I mean, it's still going to be Ravens Steelers, but it's not going to be that Steeler hate we all love next week. I mean, we still got to get past the Chiefs in our breakdown this weekend. We'll get to that later on in the week, but it sucks because you can't really like the throw material. I mean, the only thing we have right now going for us is, we had the last 2 wins in a row. We knocked them out of playoffs last year. And we beat them on Thursday Night Football early this year for our first win in their house. So the last 2 wins came against Steelers in their place. And if I recall, I have to look back, I think we beat them here anyway. So we've owned them lately. So, but again, they're probably going to just stick it to us on 2 Sundays from now. So it's not going to be pretty. We're going to just really have some fun. And like I even told my friend, even when we were at the game, it was just sad to see. It was like 11 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, and the stadium was just emptying out quickly. I mean, it just was just, I wouldn't say embarrassing because we understand that there's 19 players in IR. We understand the team's not in contention. It happens. But I mean, and we weren't going to win the game. And even if we did, I mean, it was fun to see if it happened, but it wasn't going to happen. But I mean, it was that fun. We tailgated. We had a blast. We in the stadium had fun. You know, we still have fun as an overall day. But when it's said and done, you have to appreciate the moments because now there's 2 home games left, 3 in total, and until next September. So it's going to go by quick, and New Year will begin. So, like I told my friend, you know, we might be down and out. It sucks this year, but it's still Ravens football no matter who's playing, and you got to appreciate the games in front of you, man.
You do, and that's the big thing that, you know, you got to support the team, you got to support the Ravens, any team really, like whoever you support, whoever you cheer for, you can't just be around for when they're winning. You got to be there for the ups, the downs, all over. The Ravens have handled themselves very well in defeat, where I feel as if that they haven't really been pointing fingers and they haven't done a lot of name calling or anything like that when things have gone wrong. The fans have, the organization has not, but the Ravens are usually a pretty stand-up organization when faced against something like this. And I like what Harbaugh's doing right now. You know, he knows there's no chance for the postseason, and he knows the deck is stacked against him, but he's already looking on to next year. He knows that a lot of those players are going to be healthy. They're going to be back. Potentially, you know, Steve Smith, he might not be back. So you got to look at wide receiver. You got to look at some of these guys that you got. Chris Givens, he didn't start here, you know, and he has looked pretty good in the last couple weeks. And you got guys like Marlon Brown who has not looked good. So you're definitely making moves. The offseason is going to be very busy for the Ravens. They're going to be switching up contracts, letting some people go, bringing some guys in, the draft. I mean, the work is it's good to get a head start on the next season.
It is. And you know what that means?
What's that?
It means the call is going to be busy reporting it.
That's very true. You know,
it is, because anytime news breaks, we'll be trying to strum up a podcast here to let you guys know our 2 cents about it.
That's right. And before we head out today, you got to bring this up. You brought up 19 guys on IR. Chris Canty, he's on IR. He's a guy. He's been he's been up and down this season. He's missed a couple games, but after Terrell Suggs went down, he kind of picked up the torch and he started being somewhat of a leader on the defense. Now Chris Canty's gone for the last 3 games of the season. I mean, the hits just keep on coming. I assume the entire team's on IR at this point. But here we are, 3 more games down, and we lost another leader, Chris Canty. That's the thing that you can always tell with this team, the way that the season has been going, is there's no leadership out there on the field. There's no guys playing, you know, that Ray Lewis character of rah-rah, get the team motivated. You know, when one guy goes down, the next one go up, but that next guy is the one getting hurt. There's no veterans, there's no leadership, and that's the part that really sucks, is that you can see as these guys have gone down that the people out there are not as skilled, they're not veterans, you know. They're young guys. They're inexperienced. They don't have those leadership qualities. They don't have the experience to be in this league and lead the other guys out there by example. That's the thing that's really hurting us. I think there's a lot of talent on that field, for the most part. But God, there's just so many guys that are just, you know, scraping the bottom here, because there's no leadership out there. There's no one to tell them and get them motivated. It that's the thing that's really hurting this team.
Of course, man. I mean, when you don't have that, the guys end up looking lost. I mean, they're pros, they're gentlemen. It's not like they need that guy. It's not like it's a high school game where it's like, oh, well, we're little kids running around and we don't have that guy. But I mean, for the most part, you're right, man. I mean, other than what's leadership on the sidelines, there's nothing on the field, and there's a big difference there. So you're gonna have to look to these veterans for leadership, and when they're not there, there's nobody to go to. So that could be a big problem, a big damper on plans. That does happen every now and then, but you can't really make that an excuse. But when it comes down to it, you just got to go out there and do your jobs and play the best football you can. And you're right. And wanted to touch base on that. And with Canty being out, it's just another casualty, man. It's just – it's war out there. These guys are putting themselves on the line, and they're just getting hurt left and right. It's just the story of the year. And if you look how it started, I mean, we had hope. I mean, we barely lost in Denver. We had the game in Oakland, and it's just from that point to now, it's just we started off on that wrong foot, got off the wrong side of the bed, got off grumpy, and it's been a ride. It wasn't like we won 2 out of 3 or we were 4-1 and then we had this happen. It was just like things were just crazy in the beginning and then just got weirder as the season goes on and just got god-awful. So that's just definitely something to look out for in 2016 is the health of the team, state of the team. But on a lighter note, I wanted to state that because everybody was asking me, and I was kind of disappointed as you recall, OAR played at halftime, remember?
That's right. I heard about that.
I could barely hear them, and that's what the sucky part was, is the way they had their setup, man. All the speakers were, like, on the field, so when he was singing, it was like all the way down there, like in the end zone, and you can hear it echoing in the stadium, but you couldn't make out the words at all. Like, I could hear when the main chorus came on, I knew the first, they sang two songs, and I remember the first song they sang, it was one of their biggest hits, which I really know, but you couldn't really get into it because it wasn't played like over the loudspeakers, like above like where the lights are. It wasn't like surround sound. It was mainly like they had their monitors out there on the field, and that was it. So I think it would have been better for me to go to the pregame concert because I probably could have heard them more, but I didn't want to fight Ravenswalk with all the people. So
it was Bismarck,
we just stayed at the tailgate spot. What's that?
It was Bismarck, wasn't it, on Ravenswalk?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, it was still busy from what I heard, even with the lack of fans. But it was funny because in the beginning of the game, when I was looking around, especially in the first quarter, it seemed like it was about sold out. Like there was a lot of fans there, and it just, and then of course as the game went on, you got to see all the little neon green out there and all the Seahawk fans, and it was good to see. I mean, you know, it was, they're cool fans. I mean, we got back and forth that we, and everything that come up, we kept talking is, I still can't believe last year's Super Bowl, man. I was like, why not run the football? And they kept saying, I know. I'm like, yeah, you could have been 2-time champs coming in here, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, but they're trying to fight for their own playoff spot too. So it just was, like I said, it was one of those games where it did break the streak of 12 games in a row, 8 points or less. We got blew out and we lost by 29 points. So there it is, man. I mean, it's just, we're probably not going to win another game this year. So I think that Browns win, that was special. You know, we're blocking that field goal on Monday Night Football and the way they won it. It was an exciting win for us, and we had to savor that one because the way things look here, not sure if it can happen again this year, man.
Yeah, I don't know. And the thing about the Seahawks coming in, like you said on the Purple Friday preview, those guys are white hot. They're playing great football right now, and a lot of the commentators on Sunday were saying, "Look out for this team. They might give you a run for your money and come playoff time." So potentially, we could have had a Super Bowl contender come into Baltimore, and if the Super Bowl contender trumps us, I'm kind of okay with it.
Of course, and speaking of injuries, they had their own huge injury. How about Thomas Rawls going down for them?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Huge. And that's huge for them because he was running crazy on us. And not only that, but I heard that the Seahawks might get Marshawn Lynch back. And they did sign – I think they signed a running back this week, as Seahawks did. So they have their own, but they're – again, every team has their problems, but it happens. But I heard Joe Flacco's recovering. You know, his surgery went well, and I've seen some pictures on social media. He's walking around in boot and crutches. He'll get better. We'll definitely have our new general out there next year, number 5, back under center, and I can't wait to get after it, but we just got to get through these 3 weeks, man.
That's right. And the other big thing, you talked about OAR being the halftime show at this past game. Let's talk about a guy that needs no introduction, but we're going to introduce him anyway. The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, the excellence of execution. Brett the Hitman Hart was on the sidelines this past Sunday in a Ravens jersey, in Ravens purple. When I saw the picture of him on Instagram on Friday of him and Justin Forsett hanging out at the castle, I just flipped out. I couldn't believe Brett the Hitman Hart was at the castle for the Ravens. I was so excited. I couldn't figure out like what he was doing in Baltimore, but the Hitman, he was here in Baltimore checking out the Ravens.
Yeah, that was great, and especially when like we were talking pre-show, the heels of Tables, Ladders, and Chairs TLC is one of my favorite pay-per-views ever. It lived up to the billing. There was mayhem everywhere. Monday Night Raw was awesome. I'm telling you, man, we should really start doing a WWE podcast. I mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
It just gets exciting, and it was very exciting to see that. I'm not sure if you have business in the area on why that even happened. It's still great. But it's definitely a treat to see, and I love it when the Ravens just bring in, you know, outside celebrities into the complex and to visit the team, and it's great. You know, maybe it was for inspiration. It definitely wasn't for motivation because we don't really have it because we're not motivated to make the playoffs because we can't. So virtually impossible here now. So maybe it was just a great visit for him, great to see. And then they even showed him on the Jumbotron. So I was definitely you know, definitely excited to see that he was at the game. So, and it definitely fooled it because right after the game, I ran over my buddies, watched the pay-per-view, and watched Monday Night Raw last night in great fashion. And I really love them, what they're doing right now. I mean, they're, you know, some of the superstars that are out there. Some of mine are sidelined right now due to injuries, and that's crazy because if you look, it's mainly like my favorite superstars of the WWE are on injured reserve, like the Ravens. You know, Randy Orton's out with an injury, one of my personal favorites all time, and then John Cena's out with an injury. So it's like even the stars, they got their own injuries. And on that note, I really had this thing. You know how all the haters are. Oh, it's fake. Yeah, it was fake when we were little, but as you grow up, you understand the whole stories behind it because it's entertainment. If you want real, watch the UFC. That's real. But here's what's funny, though. You see, like my buddy even texted me today, man. He's like, I'm surprised Roman Reigns' face ain't busted up. He's gotten hit so many times. And then, like, watching, like, him hit Sheamus with the chair and, like, see these guys put their ladders that break in half and tables and welts on them. And Reigns was bleeding last night trying to win the title, man.
Yeah, he was.
Like, that stuff, and the guy, and on social media, I ripped the guy apart because he was, like, bashing WWE like it's fake, and I was like, you're a moron. You should just shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, basically, like, you watch movies, right? Well, then that's fake, so don't ever watch a movie again. And I was just like, and I said, and on that note, let me get a steel chair and whack you with it and see how real that is. And I was like, shut up, dude. Like, the guy didn't know something. I hate it when people do that. I'm like, you watch movies. I'm like, you're telling me that, like yeah, I know some of the movie crews film their own stunts. Like, some of it's real, some of it's not. You have to read about it. But still, it's the same thing. Like, they risk injury. I mean, they're driving cars at 120 mile an hour and streetcar chases in the movies. They're doing their own stunts and stuntmen get hurt. It happens. It's the movies. And some of that stuff in real. Like, Fast Furious 7, you're not driving a car through three buildings in Dubai. I mean, that's not – yeah, that's not real. That's why next WWE fan, the guy who bashed WWE, I'm like, oh, yeah, so the car crashing through the three buildings in Fast Furious is real too. Because I guarantee that wasn't. If it was, I don't know how. I don't even know if it is or not. So someone can confirm that. But it had to be fake and computerized. Because you're not driving a building through, you know, you're not driving that car. Do you remember that scene?
Oh, yeah.
That scene was incredible. But I don't think it was real, dude. Especially with a car like that.
The most unbelievable thing of that movie, I love the fact, I mean, I've seen all seven Fast and Furious movies. I love the fact that Vin Diesel is now just a friggin' superhero. He lifts a car up with his bare hands in that scene. And then at the end, he stomps on the ground and has the ground crumble and bury Jason Statham. I mean, the dude's just, he's a Marvel hero. And he's just like, just like a car guy.
Telling you, I'm like, but on that note, it's real. The stuff, the injuries are real. They put it's like the NFL. I mean, they put their bodies in line for sake of entertainment. It's just with the NFL and with the equipment and the violent hitting, it's becoming a forefront discussion because of the concussion, which comes out next week in theaters. So it's just a lot of, I mean, but then you can talk about any sport like UFC. They don't wear any headgear, but I was watching UFC on Saturday night, and the way they're hitting with their bare fist or their gloves, and they're lighter, and they're actually not that much protected than boxing. Boxing's more protection with the gloves and the tape, but and they still hit when you get hurt. I mean, it cuts you and stuff. But these guys are hitting with their hands and smashing your head against the octagon, and like, you know, that's concussion right there. And people get cauliflower ears and stuff. And you're telling me that's not a safety issue or a lawsuit waiting to happen. I mean, these guys know what they sign up for. So I just never understand why the NFL and the way they do things. I mean, you can only protect the head so much. But like somebody was breaking it down on some really good sports talk this week, and someone was saying no matter – you could have a helmet 100 feet thick. I mean, it's just outrageous to think because it never happened. But someone was just saying that you can have a helmet 100 feet thick, but it can't protect your brain from swashing around because there's no support in your head.
Right.
I mean, you can put surround around your head, but if your head still moves, your brain's still going to hit. That's what they were trying to prove. I mean, no matter how much you slow the game down or make the game safer, unless you basically just stop playing football altogether and abolish the sport, people are going to still get hurt and concussed. It's part of the game. It happens. And you have to know what you're signing up for. I mean, cops sign up for being cops. They can get shot or dead any day. And God bless what they do every day. Firemen go in a fire-filled building, they could die of, you know, whatever. They could, you know, something falls and it happens. I mean, there's risk associated every day in our job. So that's just what I understand. You can police it so much, but then there's a point where you just got to say it's part of it. It's going to happen. Live with it. But you don't want anybody to get hurt.
No.
I mean, we live for big hits in the NFL, man. We live for car crashes in NASCAR. We live for home runs in baseball and in basketball. We live for the big dunks. But once all said and done, you want these guys to be safe because they're fathers, they have families, they're sons, you know, they're brothers. But once all said and done, they put they make millions of dollars, put their bodies on the line for sake of our entertainment because we don't pay to see them. But it's part of the game too, so there is a risk associated with what they do. And I don't think you can ever police that. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe with Concussion coming out, with the Ravens season not going as we thought, maybe you and I will go see Concussion and we'll review it on the podcast and let people know what we think about it. So, Josh, this has been kind of a crazy show. I think we talked football a little bit, but did we cover everything?
We covered it to the max, and I have to say one bright spot during the tailgate. The cheerleaders were walking around, and I got autographs and a calendar this weekend. I'm
Hello.
So happy. Yeah, and they were loving my red eyes, too.
Did you get some selfies?
I did not.
Oh, man.
There was a – well, that's
did you get me a phone number or two? I mean, that would have been nice of you.
Yeah, I may got one or two. I was going to get a picture with them, but it was right as soon as we were like they were trying to get in the state because I think they were just trying to get rid of what they had left. And as soon as they four stepped on the lot, there was a swarm of people. So it was kind of like I didn't want to be like,
all
hey,
dudes.
Can I get you guys a picture real quick when there's like people in line trying to get theirs. So
all
I was
dudes.
Like, I was
not people, just dudes. All dudes.
Just dudes. That's right. Hey. Good clarification. All dudes.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, let us know what you thought of the Independence Day trailer. You could tweet to Josh or I. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Go over to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about the call and everything else we do at Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Also, go like the call on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we will also be putting out cool photos, videos, news articles, whatever we find interesting about the Ravens. We will post it there as well. We've been talking to a couple of you guys the last week or so on Facebook, so it's been great connecting with you there. So make sure you like the call podcast over on Facebook. Now, we do this show for free, guys. You listen, you stream, and you download on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. All we ask in return is that you please write us an iTunes review and spread the word about the call on social media. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. It is some dark, dreary days, but I'm still listening to the call. They're getting me ready for the 2016 season, and they're helping me out through these last 3 weeks of depressing football, but they're still here with me. Check out the call. So that is it for the Red Eye Review this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much. And guys, it's been dire. Like Brandon said, are you still with us? The true blue fans always stick through these times of peril because no matter what, you got to stick by your team. You can't have that attitude, well, you know, oh, they're doing bad this year, so I'm going to scale back or I'm done looking into going to games. You got to stick with us for the thick and thin. That's what makes a true blue fan because, and you know how it is with the Orioles, and we already know with it with some teams. There's some teams that never even won a championship, let alone been in the playoffs or a playoff win. So, and you count. I mean, we got two world titles in 20 years, guys. I mean, we have Hall of Famers. We've had Ray Lewis. We have Joe Flacco now. Harbaugh's a great ball coach. We've had Suggs. And we've had some great players come through here. Shannon Sharp. We've had, Derek Mason. We've had Anquan Boldin. We've had a Steve Smith. And with these guys, you know, apart from a couple of them, they haven't gotten their chance of tasting that title. Derek Mason was close a few times. Steve Smith has been close. He played in a Super Bowl with the Panthers, but they just never can get it done. Boldin got one here, and so did Shannon Sharp. And Shannon did, of course, with the Broncos. But with that being said, guys, it's players come and go. This team's here to stay. We haven't had one since 83. We finally got one in 96. And you have to appreciate it. I mean, we went that far without a team, 13, 14 years now. We've had a team for 20. Yeah, this year sucks. It's one of our worst years, but we can't go no worse than 4-12 because we won four games. No one can take that away from us, and that ties a franchise low. We went 4-12 in our inaugural year, so it happens. At least we're not 13-3, we're not 2-14, we're not 1-15, and we're sure as heck ain't 0-16. You gotta count them, man. I mean, we had some great wins this year. We had some great games. Guys, stick it through us. we're going to get, it's going to be okay. We're going to get healthy again and be right back at it in 2016. Ready to rock the AFC once again. That being said, enjoy this week. Week before Christmas starts, let's fly high into Purple Friday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.